Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Phoenix, Arizona, it's time for Valley Business Radio, spotlighting the Valley's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Hello and welcome to Valley Business Radio, where we tell the stories that traditional media tends to ignore and help connect you to the right people. I'm your host, Dr. Adrian McIntyre, and I'm joined in the studio today by two folks from the 7th Avenue Merchants Association, the Melrose District. Greg Edelman is the owner of Exposed Studio and Gallery. Thanks for being here, Greg.
Thank you for having me.
And Brad Moore is the owner of Short Leash Hot Dogs and Rollover Donuts. Thanks for coming.
Oh, super excited. Thank you.
I am fascinated because, you know, growing up in the 90s, of course, we watched Melrose Place on TV, but we're not talking about Melrose Place, the place. We're talking about Melrose is the place to be. The Melrose District is a section of 7th Avenue, approximately from Camelback to Indian School, and it's home to some of Arizona's top art galleries, restaurants, bars, clubs, and independent small businesses. It's a can't-miss region of the Valley, and I'm fascinated to learn more about your businesses and about the 7th Avenue Merchants Association as a whole. Greg, why don't you kick us off here and tell us a little bit about the 7th Avenue Merchants Association and about how you found yourself involved in this neighborhood and in your business.
Okay. I moved over to 7th Avenue back in 2004. I had sold my first gallery over on 3rd and Lexington. And I wanted to go to a district that was up and coming and lively and was a synergy of new businesses and people and a lot of activity. So we bought the building over there and I reopened Exposed Studio and Gallery there. And we are just loving it. I mean, it has just been spectacular. I could not have made a better move. 7th Avenue Merchants Association started around 20 years ago. It was an area that was in blight and needed some cleaning up. So the merchants all got together. They formed the 7th Avenue Merchants Association, and they have been just been going strong ever since. We've been revitalizing buildings. We've been helping maintain the structure of some of our older buildings so they don't get torn down. We have new apartments there at the curve. It has just been great. We got the big Melrose Arch. I don't know if you have seen that yet, but it's absolutely amazing. Come check it out. And it's just a nice gateway to our neighborhood.
That's fabulous. The Melrose Arch is on 7th Avenue, just north of Indian School.
Correct.
Really marks the boundary, the southern boundary, if you will, of the district.
Correct.
Tell us a little bit about Exposed Studio and Gallery. What are you doing there, and what's the history of your business?
I'm a photographer by trade, and I wanted a studio. And so back in 2004, I started and opened up a little art gallery and photo studio. And it just kept growing, and everything was going great. At the height of the market, a developer bought up our entire block over at 3rd and Lexington. And so I needed to go find a new location, so I found Melrose. And we feature all types of mediums of art, everything from photography to painting, sculptures, art glass. We have a one-of-a-kind handmade gift shop. In the shop, so you can go ahead and get stuff for birthdays, anniversaries, weddings, all that kind of stuff. And then I have my working photo studio.
I love it. So you moved there in 2007. And of course, that was a year before the market for art kind of fell out along with the bottom of everything else. How did you navigate through those lean years?
Luckily, I wear several different hats. I'm able to continue on doing the photography, and my husband and I also do real estate. So the building itself, we own, and we were doing well, and we were able to keep it going. We were very lucky, very, very lucky. I know a lot of art galleries closed down during that time period.
Greg Edelman, I want to hear more about the business. I want to hear more about what's going on in the block, but let's bring Brad Moore into the conversation. Brad, you're the owner of Short Leash Hot Dogs and Rollover Donuts. And here's my question. You would be my new favorite person in the whole world if you had wanted to be a hot dog stand guy from when you were a little kid, but maybe it didn't actually play out that way. How did you find yourself in the hot dog and donut business?
You know, it's funny because coming back to the crisis that you were just discussing, I worked for a bank that was actually closed by the FDIC on a Friday night and kind of found myself trying to figure out what to do next. And my wife was an interior designer and they specialized in model homes. So obviously we were both in this place where like, hey, what's next on the horizon for us? So we it was right before the food truck craze had hit. We thought, hey, let's start a little gourmet food truck. And we thought we'd do it on a part-time basis. And about 6 weeks later, we're in it full time. And it was it's been quite the whirlwind ever since.
Now, this is not maybe it is typical for somebody with entrepreneurial DNA, I guess, but it's not the typical idea of, oh no, we have lost our jobs, let's sell hot dogs. How did that conversation play out at home? And you know, how did you get to the point where you had actually made the leap?
You know, I think I had this romantic idea of opening a restaurant or bar one day, but we were realistic to say, okay, we don't have the capital for this, so what's an alternative? And I proposed a food truck, and she said, absolutely not. And I had a soccer game that morning, ran around for a little bit, and then came back and on CBS Sunday Morning News, they did this little feature on some food trucks in LA. And she's like, is this what you're talking about? I was like, yeah, that's exactly what I meant. She's like, that sounds like a lot of fun. So again, we bought a little truck and we thought, you know what, if we love it, great. If we hate it, we have an asset that we can sell and hopefully recoup some of our investment. And fortunately for us, we're still here today.
That's great. And since the original food truck concept, you now have a proper restaurant and you've expanded. You've got donuts and also beer. So talk a little bit about what you offer and what's unique about what people get when they walk through the door of your establishment.
Yes, we like to say we do a unique twist on a classic favorite. So we thought if we're going to do hot dogs, we have to really trick them out and make them incredibly unique. And so that's kind of always been our mantra ever since. And so we have a crazy array of hot dogs. When we decided to start doing donuts as a dessert option, kind of the same philosophy, a lot of great, unique topping combinations and flavor combinations. And the idea is we can basically go from donuts to dinner. So we do scratch made donuts and coffee at 8 a.m. And then, we roll that right into lunch and dinner. And we have over 100 different beers and 11 different whiskeys and, you know, a lot of great cocktails.
This is a far cry beyond the original food truck.
Yes, it's grown considerably.
What's one of the favorite items on the menu that kind of wows people and shows them what you're really up to there?
So we have a hot dog we always try to encourage people to try. It's called the Bear. It's got peanut butter, Cracker Jack, smoked Gouda, bacon, and barbecue. And we actually created this hot dog for the D-backs on opening day about 5 years ago. And it's been featured on the Cooking Channel a couple times. It's been Huffington Post called it one of the five sandwiches you got to try before you die. And kind of all marries together like a Thai peanut sauce. So it's weird. But I've never had anybody not love it.
Now, I can believe this because I've been telling people for years that one of the best combinations in the world is peanut butter and pickle. And nobody believes me, but something about the creaminess and the fat and the salt, and it just kind of hangs together. Greg, you're right next door to Short Leash Hot Dogs. Do you ever eat there? And what's your favorite thing on the menu?
Absolutely. I'm an old stick in the mud. I love good old-fashioned chili cheese dogs. So I get the 100% beef with the veggie chili, with cheese and good old yellow mustard. And it is just spectacular.
Yeah, that's classic. Neither of you were born here or grew up here in the Valley. Greg, tell us a little bit about your background and how you ended up here in Phoenix.
Okay, I was born in Jersey. My parents moved us out to LA when I was 5. And when I was 24, I moved here to Phoenix. My mom had started getting ill, and her husband had just passed away. So I came out here to kind of take care of my mom. And then I met my other half that very first year. We've been together ever since. We're coming up on 30 years. And I first started out working with American Express, and then I went on to Chase Manhattan, working in their supervisor at a call room. And then I started my own marketing company. Then I went on to managing Echo Magazine.
Yeah, always have that creative side.
I did. I've always been creative. I've always worked in the print industry, marketing, PR, that kind of thing. But then I realized I wanted to do it for myself. And so, like I said, my other half and I, we decided to buy some real estate. And the first gallery was our first go around, and it's been going good.
That's phenomenal. I'm glad to hear it. Now, you were also instrumental in helping establish the country's first registered gay and lesbian chamber of commerce in 2001. Talk to us a little bit about that process and how that all played out and how that's been here in the Valley.
I started back in 1995 with the Camelback Business and Professional Association. I went on their board as a VP. And then in 1998, I became their president. And then in 99, we decided that the social business group itself needed a little upgrading and push. So I went to a Western Business Alliance out in Boston and came back, and I was totally energized that we needed to take it to the next level. So we decided to apply to be a Chamber of Commerce here in Phoenix. And so we are actually the first, the Greater Phoenix Gay and Lesbian Chamber of Commerce is the first registered chamber in the United States.
The first registered LGBTQ chamber.
Exactly. So that was a nice little push for us. The organization itself is doing great. We have over 250 members still. I still sit on the board as an advisor, and I work closely with them. And being that the Melrose District has a lot of LGBTQ businesses in it, we are always working together with all the other merchants, and we now have the Rainbow Crosswalk right there at Campbell. So it's a really nice mix for everything.
That's fabulous. I mean, one of the themes that we've heard over and over in this show is we talk to people who are part of the whole. They're contributing to the Metro Phoenix area, and at the same time, they live within communities. There's a certain strength and a certain sense of belonging that can come when you have the support of a special interest organization, and at the same time, you're able to work for the good of the whole. Diversity and inclusion means all of us together being who we are, not in some way creating more fragmentation and more separation and more isolation. Has that been your experience?
Absolutely. We never had any pushback. We always have had a really positive support. When I joined the 7th Avenue Merchants Association, I was actually very impressed with the existing board and our current board and how inclusive they were for the LGBTQ community.
That's fabulous. Glad to hear it. Brad, you're also not from here. What's the story that brought you to the Valley, and how did that connect to what you're doing today with hot dogs, donuts, and 100 different types of beer?
No correlation food-wise. I grew up in Dallas. After college, I was trying to chase the soccer dream for a couple of years. They had a team out here for a brief stint, and we thought we would just be out here for one summer and then on to the next place. Our first little place we moved into was a little one-bedroom apartment down in Willow, and instantly found in love with the Central Phoenix neighborhood and decided, you know what, we're going to stay here. We're going to plant roots. We really enjoyed the city and everything it had to offer. We've been here ever since. A few different career changes along the way, and I think we've found our groove here with the food and beverage business.
There's a fascinating culture of local and regional breweries, and of course, wine as well. What's your sense of the landscape in terms of creating the beers that you then provide? What's going on that's interesting in that world?
You know, I think for us, you know, we try to focus on everything local or at least regional. So most of our beers are from the Southwest here in the Phoenix area. And we try to carry, you know, as many taps as we can from little breweries within 5 miles of the building. I think that sense of connection and that sense of community really resonates with people. You know, coming back to what you guys were talking about a moment ago, I think when you start a small business, many people think of competition and all those other aspects, but really all of your customers or bulk of them come from within a 5 mile radius. So it is a very neighborhood feel. And I think you have to wear multiple hats and really kind of be involved within the community in a variety of different ways. Your marketing outreach is very much a grassroots effort.
Absolutely. Let's talk about the neighborhood a little bit. Approximately how many different businesses are represented by the 7th Avenue Merchants Association? You're both on the board. Just give us a ballpark. What are we talking about in terms of the scope?
I want to say it's right around 200 businesses, the longest, the mile and a half stretch that we have, which is pretty impressive. I think one of the really unique things that our neighborhood offers is I think we're one of the few areas within Phoenix that still has a great retail section as far as, you know, antiques, thrift shops, resale shops. That's one of the big driver for our area. Obviously, we have a lot of great food and beverage places, nighttime entertainment. So I think we've got kind of a really great eclectic mix of businesses represented, again, from morning till late night. I think we have a little bit of everything.
Yeah, we have everything from auto repair shops to barbers, bars. It's just crazy good.
Yeah, I think, I mean, we see what's kind of happening on other sections of the neighborhood, where like 7th Street, 16th Street, where it's predominantly just restaurants. I think what our neighborhood done a great job of is maintaining that great retail presence that seems to be missing in some other areas.
every neighborhood, every shopping district has its own flavor. You've mentioned the mix, the kind of organic mix of business types. What else sets the Melrose District apart?
You know, I know from a neighborhood standpoint, I'm new to, we've only been in the neighborhood 6 months, although we've lived in the neighborhood for 17 years. But, you know, from a business standpoint, I'm still learning so much about what the neighborhood has to offer. I think we are one of the few, if not only, neighborhood that has what they call an overlay, in which about 10 years ago, they actually created an overlay for our neighborhood, which kind of maintains the integrity of the buildings, the neighborhood, different types of future uses for properties. They've actually put in some really great kind of infrastructure and thought process there to maintain that long term, which is very exciting as well.
What is an overlay, Greg? What are we talking about here? Is it just a document with regulations or is it more than that?
Correct. It has regulations, but it also was meant to maintain the integrity of the area, meaning we don't have big corporate restaurants in there. We don't have
large-scale high-rises.
Exactly, you know, large-scale. You know. It was meant to concentrate on the mom-and-pop shops so that they can contain it's a walkability area. So you can walk along and go into individual shops. The overlay gives us some benefits that other areas don't get. Because we're a shopping district, we're allowed to put out A-frame signs where a lot of businesses can't do that along 7th Avenue or Camelback. We get different parking restrictions and benefits because we are a smaller district.
So this is something officially registered with the City of Phoenix that controls a lot of the experience of the area. Of course, a lot of people who maybe not know Melrose from the area itself might want to know about the Melrose Street Fair. What is the story here? It's coming up Saturday, March 2nd from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. What is the Melrose Street Fair and how did it get started?
So it'll be 17th year. It's an amazing event. It's open to the public. It's free. We close 7th Avenue from Indian School all the way up to Campbell, which is about 3/4 of a mile, I believe. We have 200 vendors, over 200 classic cars. We've got the main stage with some amazing bands throughout the afternoon, a great beer garden. So it's got kind of all those things, but it's very much neighborhood focused. So a lot of the artists and the vendors that are there are people that live and work within the neighborhood. Maybe they're doing this on a part-time basis or they're trying to showcase their wares. We've got some amazing food trucks that are out there. So it's just kind of a great family-oriented, all-inclusive type event.
Greg, what are some of your favorite things about the street fair? Obviously, it's a lot of work for the local business owners and for the 7th Avenue Merchants Association to coordinate the thing. But at the end of the day, I'm sure there's a lot of fun as well. What do you like most?
Well, a lot of things that we have arts and crafts for kids. We're going to have a photo booth this year over at Stacy's on Melrose. We have a rock climbing wall for the kids. And this year, we're actually bringing in a new kind of gaming truck, which has the VR virtual reality games where these kids and teenagers can go into this big booth and do virtual reality. So it's going to be a good thing. So the parents can walk around, have a beer at the beer garden, and leave the kids and let them play.
I've seen this. Actually, my neighbor had one of these for their oldest son's birthday. It's an enclosed trailer with a whole virtual reality gaming setup on the inside. And it's kind of a black hole for kids, which is in some ways a relief for parents, right? No, that's marvelous. That's exciting. What are you going to be doing as far as the exposed studio and gallery? Will people just be walking through the gallery or are you going to have a presence outside?
We actually do both. We open with a new show with Wally Collins, the owner of Wally's Pub and the Collins and all that. He retired a year ago and he's just been creating art. So we opened Friday night before on First Friday with him. And then the next day we're going to have out in front of our space, we're going to have an arts and crafts table for kids. We have these two giant angel wings made out of metal. I have my metal artist making them so people can come and get pictures taken with their angel wings. It's just going to be a really fun day.
I love that you said that. It makes me think of something I've asked other business owners, but it may be relevant here as well. How has something like Instagram changed the way you create and display art? I mean, obviously having wings that people can take pictures with has that in mind.
Right, with the hashtag or with our company on it. So, yeah, it's a way to help market not only the street fair, but also the individual businesses.
Yeah.
And I know a lot of the other businesses are going to be doing extensions to their business. I know Short Leash is going to do an extension. I know Pat O's Bunkhouse is doing an extension. So the businesses are really opening their arms to the neighborhood to let them know what we're here and come on down.
I love it. Brad Moore, owner of Short Leash Hot Dogs and Rollover Donuts. What should we be expecting from your business during the Melrose Street Fair on Saturday, March 2nd?
You know, to Craig's point, when you have 25,000 people walking up and down in front of your business, you really got to go all out and kind of showcase what you do and who you are. And so off of our patio, we're going to do an extension of premises. We'll have the soundbite truck there. It's got a stage, a performance stage on it. And so we'll have a couple bands lined up back there. Huss Brewery will be slinging beers. And, you know, another tie for another local company, Grand Canyon Brewery. They actually have gotten into distilling spirits. So we'll be having some of their spirits on site too. So just kind of have some fun and a little bit of live entertainment and great little way to spend the afternoon.
I imagine you've got decent cooperation from City of Phoenix to put on an event like this. Is going 17 years strong. Anything to speak to their challenges and opportunities?
No, I have to say they're amazing partners. They really are. They go all out. I mean, this is a one-of-a-kind event with this many people and this major section of road. So from Phoenix PD to the fire department to everybody involved, they do an outstanding job of helping us facilitate this.
Greg, talk a little bit about some of the entertainment. What's on the slate throughout the day? And then where can people go to learn more about the street fair itself?
Well, we're excited. This year on our main stage, we have a full day packed, so the stage will never be empty. From 11 to 11:45, we have the Phoenix Metropolitan Men's Chorus and the Phoenix Women's Chorus with Voices of the Desert. And then from 12 to 1:30, we have Josh West Trio. And then from 1:45 to 3:15, we have the Haymarket Squares. And then from 3:30 to 5, we have the Senators. And to get all the additional information, you can go to m7streetfair.com. And we really can't do this street fair without our sponsors. We have to send out our love to Boxer Love Rescue, Huss Brewing Company, the Arizona Recycling Coalition. We are a 100% green event this year. We got a grant from them, and everything that we're going to be doing has recyclable cups and paper, and so we're 100% green this year. This is our first year doing that.
Amazing.
Neighborhood Services Department with Lisa Hubbard, she keeps us on track. Clear Channel Outdoor has been helping us promote everything that we're doing, and the Arizona Humane Society will have a booth there, and they're going to be doing pet adoptions. So again, all our sponsors, from our main sponsors, all our in-trade sponsors, like our media and you guys and everything. So we really can't do it without everybody and the volunteers. It does take a village to make a district.
Yes, indeed. To coin a phrase, I love it. And to get more information about that, the website is M7. That's the letter M, the number 7, m7streetfair.com. Greg Edelman, Exposed Studio and Art Gallery, where do people go to learn more? Obviously, they can come and visit, but if they want to find out and see what kind of exhibits and things you have, where do they go to learn more about you and your artists?
They can always find us at exposedgallery.com, and we also have a huge presence on Facebook under Exposed Studio and Gallery.
Brad Moore, owner of Short Leash Hot Dogs and Rollover Donuts, where do people learn more about you, the hot dogs, and the beer?
You know, the best place is the website, shortleashhotdogs.com.
Obviously, with the Melrose Street Fair coming up on Saturday, March 2nd, 11 to 5, there's a lot going on with that. Looking beyond that, if that's even possible, what are you excited for the rest of the year? Is there anything coming up or anything you're working toward?
You know, I think for us as an organization, what we have a great group of people that are super energetic. And I think part of our focus going forward is just going to be, how do we continue to add character to the neighborhood, and how do we be, you know, continue to market the neighborhood and do some things that are really kind of innovative and give our street some added appeal. I think we have now 3 or 4 crosswalks that are actually lighted along that 7th Avenue stretch, which is great for pedestrians and bike riders. So just kind of adding that extra element to make it more more friendly to everyone.
That's great. Thank you very much for being here. Greg, last words, anything you're excited by beyond this? What's on the horizon for Exposed Studio and Gallery?
We're just going to continue on featuring our new and emerging artists. We want to help promote the creativity of our young people and our old people, and anybody that wants to pick up a brush or whatever, just come on in, have fun. We're just moving forward.
Well, that's great. I am thrilled to hear vibrant communities engaging with their members, young and old and everywhere in between. And I just want to thank you guys for the great work that you and all the other independent businesses who are part of the 7th Avenue Merchants Association, all the great effort that you're undertaking. And I want to thank you both for joining us here in the studio.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
For all of us here at Business Radio X, this is Dr. Adrian McIntyre, and we'll see you next time on Valley Business Radio.